listening to the Capture Paranormal Podcast.
Greetings and welcome to Paranerd Talk. We are Capture Paranormal. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about spirits and demons. This was all voted on by our friends over at facebook.com/CaptureParanormal. You can head over there, give us a like, and check out when the polls come up. You can vote for yourself on what we're going to be talking about next. So on this episode, we got Bryce, we got Kevin, we got John, and we have Mike.
Hi.
Mike has made the move from behind the camera. So, yeah, spirits versus demons. I'll do a little definition thing here that I wrote out, but I didn't use Google for this at all.
Of course not.
Spirit is a supernatural being, often but not exclusively a non-physical entity. A demon, on the other hand, is an evil spirit or devil, especially thought to possess a person or act as a tormentor. So that's kind of the differences between spirits and demons. So how do you determine what's a spirit and what's a demon when going into an investigation?
And you're looking at me.
I'm looking at you.
All right. So I'm probably the biggest skeptic on the party.
I think we're all in the same boat here, kind of.
Personally, every investigation that I've been on that we've been told that there's going to be demons there, never encountered one.
Right.
I've never encountered anything even remotely malicious in any kind of way that made me fear for my life. That they say that demons were
right.
I grew up, and that's the thing, like, we were talking about this before we were recording. The definition of a demon varies from culture to culture. There is no, you ask somebody from Japan what a demon is, and it's completely different than somebody from Croatia or somebody from Africa. Or so there's no set definition of what is really considered a demon.
Right.
The Greeks used to believe that they were helpful. That's where the name comes from. Is it's actually a name for spirit.
So does this all go back to Satan or Lucifer? Is he the first demon or fallen angel? Or
that's all a big cultural thing. Right. Like and people are going to flame me for this, but that's the cultural historical legend from the Abrahamic religions, that there was an entity named Lucifer who fell, and he took with him a host of black angels who became the host of demons. And then I grew up Catholic. I went to Catholic school, and I've researched a lot of Catholic. I enjoy researching ancient religions and stuff. And in Catholicism, the way Catholicism sees it is a demon can't inhabit the world physically. It's impossible for a demon to inhabit this world. They can only inhabit people. They can possess people, which is where the whole exorcist organization comes from within the Vatican.
So. Right, and that's a real thing.
And that is a real thing.
It's a real thing.
And they have their real cases. And those I find very compelling. But when somebody's saying that they've got demons jumping from their ceiling fans, that's where I kind of go,
I believe it was sitting on their ceiling.
Sitting on their ceiling fan.
Yes.
Then I kind of go, and then, you know, like, people post lists of demon names and stuff like that, and I was looking over the demon names, and again, being somebody who's interested in historical religious culture, I look over those names, and I'm like, those are all names of, like, ancient Babylonian and Sumerian and Mesopotamian gods.
Right.
And the reason why they got named as demons was because the Hebrews would come into the area and start controlling the area. And you're worshippers of Baal, you're worshippers of Drom. So you are seen as somebody who's evil. You come into our fold, and you'll no longer be considered evil.
Right.
Now, spirits, on the other hand, you go across cultures and you talk to Japanese about what haunting is, or you talk to Chinese about what a haunting is, or an African, and they all seem to kind of fall in line to the same thing, but right. The spirits of the departed.
Yeah. So I know, John, you're getting a lot more into energies and things like that, right? Where do you stand on the whole demons, you know, the whole demon thing?
I have yet to encounter what I would say would be a demon. I know that us as a team have encountered, if you want to call it, negative entities. Some of them have been kind of interesting. I mean, some of us have a different opinion on that particular case.
Which case was that?
That'd be Mirrors.
Oh.
I don't know if you were that one or not.
No.
That was in London.
That was the one where
Was it London?
Yeah, it was London. Yeah.
That was the one where you all of a sudden felt very ill and attacked, essentially.
I guess if you could, if you want to go that direction, something did attack, like attached to me, or if that's...
Well, I know I was on camera, and I'm the one that noticed while I was filming you. You were just zoned right out.
You can see it on the video.
Yeah,
like it's clear that something was wrong with me, and it was nothing that. See, the problem with how long we've been doing this is that we always go in, kind of, at least for me, is I already have my mind made up what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as soon as I hear the word demon, we know it's not demonic. And so you kind of let your guard down, and that...
Well, really, what kind of demon's going to be targeting a townhouse in a suburban
area? With four girls that are in college in the middle of London. Like, it's to that, to the farmhouse out in Sparta, to the house in Oakville with them sitting on the ceiling fans, and like it,
Ingersoll.
The problem is that we don't know what a demon is.
Yes.
Like, I don't know what that... Like, I know what visually a demon looks like from pictures on the internet with horns and the teeth and the... Like, it...
But that's...
It could look like Bryce. It could look like me. It could...
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what a demon looks
like. That's just somebody's representation of what they think.
Like Bryce, I was raised Catholic. Catholic schools right through high school. Church every Sunday, communion, the whole bit, confessions every month. Like, I was Catholic. My grandmother, hardcore Catholic. My mother, all in it, just kind of... The whole backstory, I won't go into why we stopped going to church, but my belief was the demon was the devil. That was my definition of a demon, was the forked tail with the horns and the teeth and the sitting in a pit of fire, and like that was... But, like, a case like London, I just went in, like, it's four girls that have a wild imagination, and there's probably nothing going on. But, not unfortunately, but we did have a guest that night who went a little beyond how we investigate by taunting and egging things on to get, I don't know, to get activity going or whatever. And he just kind of went off the rails, and... Whatever he was doing seemed to have bothered what was ever there, if there was anything there, which I'm sure there was. And it just, I was just kind of in the middle of everything. And maybe because my guard was down, I wasn't prepared or what have you, something took over me. And like, I just kind of, I don't really remember a whole lot of that night. I remember going into that room. I remember the guest doing what he was doing. And I remember sitting in a chair. I couldn't tell you anything that happened, what was said, what was brought on, and I think it was Jonathan or Mike or someone said, okay, I think it's time to go, and I got up out of the chair and I walked out of the house. Like, I knew, like, I don't feel right. Like, something's not right with me, so I had to leave that situation. And
but I still wouldn't say that was a demon.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't classify that as a demonic attack.
Would you say it was like more of a negative spirit? The idea behind that thing was that house, was that whatever was there, either, you know, demon, spirit, whatever, was using the mirrors in the house as portals, right, to kind of move about the house or move back and forth between worlds or dimensions, whatever. So you would say it was more of a negative spirit?
I would say more of negative, if that's... And again, 8 years doing this, I've never come across anything like that. I've never been scratched or hit or bit or pushed down a set of stairs or... Like, you see, always
the flames of hell come up in front of you.
No, I've never. We always ask for it. Like,
yeah.
Like, push me or push Bryce or like grab our shirts or knock my hat off or whatever. Like, it never happens. Like, it's just, if I ran into a demon, I wouldn't know if it was demonic or not, because I don't know what it looks like or what it can do. Yeah. And from what people that I know, there's a gentleman that I know, he's been doing it for, I guess he's been doing this for over 40 years now. And those 40 years, he had one he classifies as demonic attached to him, brought on by him, because he does shaman stuff and stuff like that. And he was doing this ritual, and same kind of thing. He was kind of egging it on and this and that. And he said whatever he did wrong attached to him, and it was 6 months of hell after that. But it was nothing that the homeowner did or the business owner or whoever. He did it himself. Mm-hmm. And he said in 40 years, that's one that he could classify as a demonic. So it's very few and far between. And this gentleman, I would trust him because I've talked to him enough times and actually met him in person a few times. And he said it's not demonic, it's negative. Mm-hmm. And it's usually brought on by something you did wrong, mm-hmm. or something the homeowners did wrong, or and you're walking into that situation. So,
Do you think kind of people that are going into the realm of, say, the occult or witchery or Satanism can actually conjure these kind of evil spirits or demons? John?
I think it all comes back to what you truly believe in. You know, I think that really that sometimes that comes down to
if someone's holding a seance in the middle of their living room calling upon Satan and all these other drum, like, you know, will it actually like turn into that?
Well, it can for that person if you truly honestly believe it, but if you look at it, you know, do you truly believe it or not? I think that's kind of what it comes down to. You know, and I think a lot of it, what you think about expands. I mean, with the case that we just kind of wrapped up yesterday, basically, that'll be an upcoming video. A lot of the issues that were going on there were also manifested by the people that lived in the house, you know, through their energies being put out, you know, and it just exacerbated the situation. So
you believe that? Do you believe the negative energy from the actual family of people kind of conjured up this or just intensified it?
It certainly intensified it.
Mm-hmm. I think what can happen is it doesn't really conjure anything, but that negativity can be kind of a presence on its own. Like the one house that we did with, when she was saying that the ceiling, or there was a demon sitting on the ceiling fan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We investigated and the place was quiet until her husband came home. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you could just feel the energy in the house just turn mm-hmm. black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly shifted to a negative, I guess you could say. Like it was not nice.
Yeah.
Like, he comes roaring up the street in his car and bursts into the house like, these effing guys are still here. And then you can just feel it. Like, just, like, and I'm not an energy feely kind of guy, but you could just feel the tension just go from zero to 1,000 in 10 seconds. As soon as he walked through that door, the tension just got, whoa, like, okay, it's time to leave. Like, I knew that was it. Like, that was, this is not going to be fun anymore. So
potentially, if there was a spirit there, that negative energy could kind of fuel it? Or do you believe the negative energy would cause, say, his wife to start having these negative feelings inside and kind of put that out as these demons are on the ceiling fan?
Personally, I think yes, for both cases. Yeah. I believe that, like, the majority of the time, it's the latter, where it's just somebody can feel, like, she could feel his negative energy coming from him, and she was attributing that to something as a demon in her house.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think it's also possible that, like, another thing when they talk about demons and stuff is they talk about, like, human and inhuman spirits, where a human spirit is us who pass away, we're a human spirit. And then an inhuman spirit is something that's never experienced life. I think inhuman spirits are extremely rare, and that's something I want to talk about at some point, is particularly the Man in Black or the Laughing Man or
right.
or whatever, that is something that is classified as an inhuman spirit. Again, something that in my research shows up across numerous cultures, this right. tall, black, shapeless
like the hat
entity.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it all has the same shape. It's not necessarily negative, though.
It just kind of lurks in corners and stuff.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
The best example, I think, or the best name for that thing that has ever been given it was, I think, would be the Grim Reaper, where it's more of a gatekeeper, something to allow things to pass back and forth or to stop things from passing back and forth. Where the majority of the time you're dealing with a human spirit.
Right.
And spirits are like people where they have their own personalities. Some of them are lonely, they want a contact. Some of them are friendly and beneficial. Some of them are tricksters.
Yeah.
Some of them are just jerks.
Yeah.
And when they come into contact with somebody who's got that negative energy and they're a jerk and they feed off of that,
right.
they may find ways to prompt it and
right.
you know, make the person more and more angry so that they can feed, essentially, so they can build their own strength.
So, negative spirits. Mike, I know you, I think you've had kind of a experience with negative spirit in your house.
Yeah,
that I have. Kind of drove you away.
Yeah, the one house that I lived in back when I was in my 20s. There was a fairly negative spirit in there. It was the spirit of a woman. And she died of brain cancer. And we know that she died of brain cancer. She was a family member of my wife. And I think she didn't know she was dead. And she didn't approve of us living together before we were married. And she made our life kind of a living hell for a little while.
Is that the farm?
Yep.
And this caused you to kind of move out, right?
Yeah, we lived there for 3 nights. We stayed there for 3 nights, and that was as long as we could.
What kind of thing, if you don't mind going in that deep, what kind of things were happening?
We had cold spots move through the house. We had doors slam. Some other stuff happened that I'll, like, very personal stuff that I'll never talk about. Yeah, it still bothers me to this day, the stuff that happened to us. But the door slamming and the
funny thing is that I stayed at your place. I
mm-hmm.
don't know if you were married yet. Maybe you were.
Yeah, we were.
Were you?
Yep. Okay.
But I stayed at your house. I think we were in Chatham. I think kind of it was like halfway in between mm-hmm. Chatham and St. Thomas. And you put the room I slept in, you said...
That was the room that we'd always feel the...
Yeah, it's like you're not going to sleep well tonight because you'll probably have your foot grabbed all the time. Yeah. Or your blankets will be yanked off. Yeah. And... That was probably one of the best sleeps I've ever had. It was the strangest thing. Like, I was totally prepared to have, like, furniture floating around me and my blankets, like, spinning around me. Like, I was so tired because we were up till, God, I don't know, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I basically just passed out. That very well could have been happening to me, but I was, like, dead to the wind. But you had that, like, those awful things happen to you, and I'm sleeping in a room that's supposedly really haunted in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing happens to me.
Yeah.
And I went home, and Lorraine's like, anything happened? I'm like, no, nothing happened at all. I don't know. Like, if I didn't know Mike and Jen, like, if it was just another case, if it was another house, I'd be like, there's nothing in that house. Like, I don't know what's their problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I've stayed there the whole night and had breakfast the next day and took off and everything was hunky-dory. And
well, I mean, if you look at a bunch of cases that we've done and, you know, the clients turn around, they give you this, like, you know, honey-do list long of, you know, claims and, you know, details of, you know, like, you know, stuff's flying off the walls and demons and growls and everything like that. And we go in, we set all our equipment up, we sit down, and you could hear a pin drop through the entire house all mm-hmm. night long. Mm-hmm. And it's like dead silence. There's just absolutely nothing. And it's like, well, nothing's matching up here. Like, you guys are saying, like, you're getting touched, and you're getting cold spots, and you're getting growls, and you're seeing shadows, and yada, yada, yada.
See, but
and there's nothing there.
I think that can go back to being prepared or unprepared. Like, with that London case, I wasn't prepared for anything. Like, I was totally expecting nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like how many cases have we done where it's kids saying, like, oh, I'm seeing a man in my closet, and I'm seeing this and that, and you do so many, it's just like, ugh. Like, it's
you get jaded. Another one.
This, yeah, it's the same old, same old. And so we set up all our equipment, and nothing happens, and this, that. But staying at Mike's, like, I didn't have equipment set up. I didn't have, like, it was just me hanging out with Mike and his wife, and going to sleep there the night because I was too tired to drive home, and nothing happened. So, like, it's, my point is that, like, to Mike that I know, I've known for 25 plus years, to a client that I've known for 2 hours, and both cases are exactly the same. Demonic, spirit, whatever. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, that's how, it, like, what I mean is, like, if I ran into something, I wouldn't know what it is. Mm-hmm. All I'd put it to is that it's negative, or it's a spirit, or there's nothing, absolutely nothing going on. Like, I've been in here, I've been in that house four times
now, I think.
And I don't feel anything in there. Like, other than, like, it's creepy. It's 150 some odd years old.
Yeah.
But I feel perfectly fine in there. Like, when we all did our investigation there, we were up in that room again, and there we are. I think because it was so cold.
Yeah, it was cold.
And, like, and it was making us tired, and, like, we're all yawning, and again, like, it's frustrating.
Yeah,
like, it is. Because you're telling me years and years of all this activity, and I'm expecting, like, again, my blankets be yanked off, and yeah, like, people touching my feet, and this and that, and nothing happened. I'm like, well, I personally don't think there's anything at your house, but I can't shoot down your claims from years of living there.
I always tell people, like, clients when we go out there, that just because nothing happens doesn't mean nothing's going on. Mm-hmm. It just means that we aren't capturing anything.
Exactly.
And
there's been times we've gone in and done an investigation, and it's been quiet. And then we get a message the next day. As soon as you guys left, things just started happening.
Yeah.
Well, you can put that to my mother-in-law's house. Mm-hmm. The first time we went there, a couple things happened. Echo box was kind of going off.
Yep.
The EMF was throwing us off once we figured out that her house is, like, severely bleeding EMF everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then we went back again. Nothing happened. Like, nothing happened. Like, EMF even started kind of dying. And then we went back the third time. And that's when the footsteps were running across and, like, all hell broke loose.
Swearing at us.
Well, and then you could put that to a negative energy, not demonic.
No,
something wasn't happy that we were there doing whatever we were doing. Mm-hmm. We weren't really doing anything. We were just talking and asking questions. And then we went back the fourth time. Nothing happened. So it's being able to find a place like your old house or my mother-in-law's house, which is unfortunately moving, but it's that you can keep going back and back and back and try and get more and more. Like, I know when my mother-in-law finally leaves, which would probably be like the next month or so, when her house is empty, I'm going to leave our card everywhere in that house.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave one in the kitchen. I'm going to leave one over here and on the front door.
On the fridge?
Yeah. Like, I'll leave our card everywhere. Like, I'll leave one everywhere. But I'll leave a couple in the house for the next owners that come in. Because there's no way that they won't be able to experience anything. Mm-hmm. Like, even with, unless they get the EMF fixed, maybe that'll fix the issues, but
I think that's going to be a neighborhood wide thing, though.
Yeah,
you know,
but that neighborhood is so old fashioned to put it the kind way that they don't talk about that stuff.
Yeah,
like, I doubt my mother in law is talking with her neighbor over coffee about the footsteps that were running across her floor while she was in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like, it's that's not going to happen.
No, to that generation, that's very taboo stuff to talk about when you have, you know, unexplained things happening in your house, you know.
Sorry to sidetrack there, but that's...
Oh, that's no problem at all.
No, then that's, like, that's just kind of spirits to demons. Like, that's long and short at all.
Nope, it's not Pazuzu interrupting your podcast. It's Jason, and I'm here to tell you about our upcoming events for Capture Paranormal. On October 6th, we're going to be in St. Thomas, Ontario, at the Princess Ave Playhouse. We're going to be there during the day with a little booth set up, so come on out, see our gear, hang out with us. And then for special ticket holders at night, we're going to be holding a public investigation of the Playhouse. Check out facebook.com/captureparanormal for more information and when tickets are on sale for that. On October 19th and 20th, we're going to be in Sombra, Ontario at the Sombra Museum. Again, check out facebook.com/captureparanormal for more information on when tickets will be available for that. On October 27th and 28th, we're going to be holding a public investigation at the Backus Page House Museum in Wallacetown, Ontario. Unfortunately, tickets for that are all sold out, but if you did happen to snag a ticket for that, be prepared for a great time. This will be the third year in a row that we've done public investigations at the Backus Page, and it's amazing every year. This has been Jason interrupting your podcast just to let you in on a few upcoming events. We hope to see you out there.
Do you guys think that with, say, like movies like The Exorcist or Exorcism of Emily Rose or whatever, and things like that, kind of fuel people to conjure these things up in their head that it's happening to them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think demonic cases or the word demonic ever was really spoken about until The Exorcist came out. That's when it really kind of put it into people's mind
that this stuff could become pop culture.
Exactly. Yeah. Like into the mainstream. Like demonic has always been around for ever. Yeah. But the Ouija board and demons and possession didn't really come into effect until, in my eyes, like I'm only 42 years old. Like I haven't met, from what my mother tells me, once, because her and her girlfriend went and saw The Exorcist. So this is my mother, her hardcore Catholic.
Yeah.
And they left. They couldn't take it because it was just too intense. And like it opened up the eyes to the mainstream that this could happen and has happened. Mm-hmm. And the Ouija board's evil, because that's how Captain Howdy came out, mm-hmm. was the little girl playing with the Ouija board. So those three, the demonic, the possession, and the Ouija board, really came into effect, as far as I know, when The Exorcist came out. And that was, what, 1973, 74, somewhere around there?
Yeah.
From what my mother tells me, it wasn't really talked about before that. And then this book and this movie comes out, and it, like, no, everything's demonic. And then up to this, so say 10 years ago when Ghost Adventures starts, 10, 11, I don't even know what season they're on.
13 or 13, 14,
good gracious. Like that, yeah. Anyways, from season 5, 6, every case is demonic.
Yeah.
They run into, no matter where they've been, we've been to the places that they've been in the States, Rolling Hills, they said was demonic. Entities there? No, there's no demonic entities.
The caretaker, I think, hangs out there.
Yeah. Moundsville, they've been there, demonic. Ohio State Penitentiary, demonic.
Yeah.
Like, every place they go to has some kind of demon attached to it.
So when people see things like this, like, do you figure that, like, why do they want it to happen to them?
There's a phenomenon called legend tripping, where somebody wants to be seen as special by having something like this happen to them. And they want to be able to talk to people and say, hey, I'm possessed by a demon. And everybody's, oh my God.
So how do you distinguish between people that are lying and a legitimate case that
it's
near impossible?
Near impossible. You need to be a psychologist in order to, because we've been, like Kevin said, we've been on cases where somebody will say, there's a demon in my house, and you're like, yeah, whatever, and you go, and nothing happens. And then somebody else says, there's a demon in my house, and you're like, yeah, whatever, you go, and then all of a sudden, you know, crazy stuff's happening all over the place.
So, like, one person says, I'm being possessed.
Yeah.
But they're just normal. They kind of, maybe they'll kind of act a little strange.
Yeah.
But then another person says, yeah, I'm possessed, and they're up on the ceiling and kind of spinning around.
I would love to see something like that happen.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, we did a case with our former team quite a while ago, and she said she had demons. So, all right, like that's fine. I think I was only maybe a year or so onto the team, so off we went. And very nice lady, but the more we talked to her, the deeper her back got with drug addiction and abuse and child abuse and just a laundry list of things that happened in her past.
Yeah.
So they were personal demons.
Yeah, like
that's so she needed demons. She needed something to blame her misfortune
right. on. Yeah, like she lost her job, like every couple of years she would get like either get fired or she'd quit or something would happen, and then another guy would come into her life and then the abuse would start happening again. So she blamed demons on herself. Like that was the reason why her life was so crappy. Is because this demonic entity has attached herself to her. And the more we dug deep into it and started asking a little more personal questions, and then it wasn't physical demons, it was inner demons.
Mm-hmm. It's the same as another case that we had in London.
Yeah, and we're not doctors, we're not professionals, we're not, but you do it long enough, you research it long enough, and you just kind of know, it's like, you don't need us. You need a doctor. Yeah. And that's usually where it ends. Like that's like there's nothing going physically on in your house, it's inside of you that you need to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where a lot of the demonic cases come from. It's not Beelzebub walking up and down your stairs. It's what's going on in your brain and in your body.
Yeah.
That's from the cases that I've done with demonic and cases I've read about. It always comes back to either drug addiction, abuse, child abuse, something that happened traumatic in their past lives is usually what brings out the demonic cases, if you want to say that. And that's just my opinion. I'm not saying that's what it is, but on the, I don't know, however many cases we've done, that seems to be the main kind of trending thing.
It's the common denominator.
Our past demons that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And like that one case where the boyfriend comes in and the negative energy comes in with it. So if you've got that and it's feeding off of that, and it's just a whole mishmash. It's very complicated, and it's nothing that I can really explain. But that's
That case that I mentioned was super quiet when he was gone, and then when he came back, that was when everything started to happen.
Yeah,
he'd had a lot of personal stuff happen to him too in his past.
Yeah, it was so it's. That's usually where it ends with cases like that. It's like, we didn't find anything in our opinion, but then I will say maybe you should go talk to somebody.
Yes.
Give them the psychic. Or the psychic. The
psychiatrist.
Yeah, like the, what's that, call a nurse? What is it?
The help or telehealth?
Yeah, like that. Like or like the suicide hotline or something like that. It's like someone to talk to. Like if you're not comfortable doing it face to face, or you can go online now and start chatting with people.
Yeah.
Over, and it's just that's about where I'll end it from on my views of demons and spirits. My opinion, I think a lot of it has to do with what's going on in your head.
Yeah.
Mental health.
Yeah.
A lot of it's also cultural. Mm-hmm. But like, I suffer from sleep paralysis quite frequently.
Mm.
I have experienced a number of things. Like, I didn't know it was sleep paralysis at first. I thought it was something paranormal happening to me. Until I was on a forum and somebody was talking about what's the most frightening thing you've ever had. And someone replied, sleep paralysis during a lightning storm. And I was like, sleep paralysis, what's that? It sounds similar to... So I looked it up and it's... What happens is your brain... When you go to sleep, it secretes a hormone in order to keep your body still while you're sleeping. So that way, if you're dreaming that you're running, you aren't actually kicking your legs in bed. And and what happens with sleep paralysis sometimes is when you wake up, that hormone production doesn't stop immediately. So you become consciously awake, but your body is still frozen. And that creates, you're still in this deep sleep state where your body temperature is lower and your heart rate is slower, your breathing is deeper, and you're paralyzed. And that is the same sensation that you get with intense fear. And that would be the fear of a demon being in your house. And I was reading through some of the phenomena that people had, and one of the phenomena is, and this is actually where we get the word nightmare from, is from sleep paralysis, because it was believed that at one point that a horse would be sitting on your chest, because that's what it feels like when you're trying to breathe, you're struggling to breathe. So you feel that people would say it like felt like a horse was sitting on my chest. So you're being dragged away by a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one phenomenon that's just absolutely terrifying. The most terrifying thing I've ever experienced was, it's called the presence. And again, it goes back to this man in black that we were talking about. And I've seen, I was laying in bed and I'd wake up, and just in that split second of waking up, there's somebody standing at the foot of my bed, and he's a tall black shadow, and he wants to suck my soul out.
Mm.
And if I don't move, he's going to destroy me. Like, send me just to straight oblivion. This is something that's been going on. Like, people suffer from this all the time. A lot of people's ghost stories. Another one is the hag or the incubus, where you feel like somebody is choking you. And you get the tangled sheet syndrome, where it feels like the sheets are wrapped around your neck, and you try moving, and the more you move, the more it tightens up around your neck.
Mm-hmm.
People have attributed this to demonic entities. I can't count the number of investigations that we've gone to, or claims that people have said that they always say, I was just falling asleep, or I was just waking up when I felt hands around my throat, or I saw a figure standing at the foot of my bed. Mm-hmm. Or, and prior to, I think about the 1950s, a lot of that was attributed to ghosts and demons and spirits and stuff like that. And then in the 1950s, you started getting the UFO paranoia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And suddenly a lot of those stories shifted from being a demon standing at the foot of my bed to an alien standing at the foot of my bed. Mm-hmm. Abducting me. Because what else happens is your subconscious stays awake, and your conscious is awake, and your subconscious is dreaming. But your conscious brain, it doesn't know any different. And all it knows is what information, what stimulus is being passed to it, what your eyes are seeing, what your hands are feeling. So if your subconscious is saying, oh yeah, we're here doing this and that, and it's passing that to your conscious, you're thinking it's really happening.
So that can be, yeah, things like that can be causes of why people believe they're being attacked by a demon, when really,
yeah,
it's
sleep paralysis. And the way to combat that is sleep on your side. Too much stress, not enough sleep. Certain drugs can do it. Too much caffeine before bed can do it. For me, I find it's typically a combination of stress, fatigue, and eating certain things before I go to bed, like spicy things before I go to bed. No matter which position I lay in, I'm going to experience this.
Right.
So a lot of people suffer from this. You
just have to be aware.
Exactly.
Yeah. So going into investigations, how do you, like, okay, somebody calls you up, messages you saying they're having problems in their house, they want you to come out and check it out, and then what we've had happen recently is that they said, oh, well, we had this other person in before, and they say there's a demon.
The likelihood of an actual demon being on the property or within the residences, or in my beliefs anyways, virtually nil. You know, majority of the time I don't think that anything demonic is really generally interested in the average person, unless...
How can you convince them, though, that this person told them already that there's a demon wherever attacking them, but...
I don't think there is any convincing them. No. Once it's told.
Yeah, sometimes you can't convince them. No. You know, it's... The mind's a powerful thing, and you know, when you put that seed of suggestion there, you know, and I mean, just like that case that we're just wrapped up, you know, I mean, it just that seed was planted, bam, and
And then just festers and keeps creating more.
Absolutely, I mean, it's just the mind's a powerful thing, right? Yeah. And then you start panicking about it, and that's all you start thinking about, and then you start projecting all of that negative energy and a negative emotion, and then, you know, we start getting text messages and emails and pictures and, you know, I have this and I have this, and suddenly they found a footprint on their ceiling, and you know, we went and looked at the footprint on the ceiling, and it's like, that's not a footprint, that's the wallpaper that is peeling away from the ceiling in a certain way that it maybe looks like a footprint, but there's no way you have a footprint on your ceiling. And you start looking and you start almost wanting to find the evidence or that this is happening, and you know, you start pulling and grasping at straws, and you start feeding into it, you know, and your mind starts manifesting, I think, things that just aren't there. Mm-hmm. You know, and that, I don't know if you agree with me or not on that one. It's,
yep. Well, like I said, when we took that case, and I didn't do my research, and it was one that contacted not only us, but like three other groups, mm-hmm. that refused to go out to that house for that reason, mm-hmm. because the psychic medium and the group before we went in already convinced that family that there was a demon in their barn.
Yeah.
And had I known that, it'd be like, oh, well, then why are we going?
Yeah. I remember you saying we're defeated before we even go in.
Before you even walk in that door.
Yep.
We've done probably a dozen cases like that, that had a medium or another group or both that were there before us and
invalidated.
Yeah, they've already been told that there's six spirits and two demons in their basement, mm-hmm. and okay, then why are we going there?
So I think this is where it gets into that legend tripping, where they just want to essentially spread the word of how special they are.
And when you look into cases like that, like the one that you guys just finished up, like I only did it once, you've been a couple times, mm-hmm. but it's you just can't. You can't. Mm-hmm. Like, we can go in with our gadgets and our stuff, and it's like, well, your basement is bleeding EMF through the roof, and this is doing this, and you give them all our knowledge and our experiences over the years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but this guy says I have a demon, and he's a medium, and he can go into the other realm, and he can go with that, and it's like, well, that's my opinion, that's mm-hmm. what I can give you.
Yeah.
If they take it, great, but 9 out of 10 times they're going to go with the other people. Mm-hmm. And they'll just keep calling us and calling and messaging us. It's like, this is still going on. This is going. We can't get rid of anything. We don't do that.
No.
Like, we present our evidence, our findings, our.
Yeah, we're there to gather the evidence of the paranormal and present it.
Yeah. And
I think the only way that you can kind of convince them that there isn't something demonic there is just basically through your professionalism,
mm-hmm.
you know, and your ability to educate them as far as, you know, I mean, it's obviously your beliefs, there's no textbook on any of this stuff, but you know, if you're professional about it and you know, you can say, look, you know, in our experience of doing this,
mm-hmm.
you know, this doesn't fit the criteria as far as what we've, you know, learned and researched and everything like that for a demonic,
yep.
you know, energy to be on your property or in your house or anything like that, you know, and I think that is kind of our only way to be able to combat, you know, a psychic medium that says you have a demon, you know, on your property or something like that, you know, is basically through your professionalism,
mm-hmm.
and your experience as a team to be able to, you know, show them, you know, or provide them alternative means and try and calm their fears, basically. Because I think a lot of it is fears, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So shifting from our experiences with what we've done to things like videos and audio online and on radio shows, paranormal radio shows, where they've played audio of people who are apparently possessed, and you hear these just growls and you know, guttural screams that these people have no way of making themselves, and these voices that coming from you know, a little Asian person giving these huge growls and stuff, like, how do you believe there's any merit to that?
I think there is some, like the Vatican. Like, they do have an organization that's what they are dedicated to, is combating demonic possession.
And they wouldn't have that if it wasn't
exactly happening. Exactly. And they kind of disavowed it post-exorcist. Well, after the exorcist came out in the 1970s, the Vatican kind of said, yeah, we don't do
that. Well, that could be too, because then, the effect of that, everybody is all of a sudden possessed.
Exactly.
Right.
And it wasn't until recently that they said, yeah, you know that exorcist organization that we said we didn't have? We do have one. I have seen some interesting exorcisms. I can't validate them.
Right.
Because I don't know the circumstances. I don't know.
In a personal view, though?
Like, they could. The thing is, in this day and age, though, is how can you tell that they're not paid actors or there's so much video editing that we can do nowadays, too. Yeah. I saw one video of Obama telling Trump to F off and drop the mic and threw papers, and it was spliced together from different.
Just manipulated.
Yeah.
And it was seamless.
It looked
like if they're like actually right in front of each other.
Exactly. And this was just a 30-second video clip that somebody did on their home computer.
Right.
And if they can do that, what are other people able to do? So that's where, in photographs and videos and stuff like that, it starts getting very, very difficult to say what is real. I would need to be in the room,
right,
witnessing an actual exorcist with somebody's head spinning around 360 degrees for me to go, oh my God, that's a real thing.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That's pretty much where I stand too.
Yeah. I think with exorcisms and demonic and the Catholic Church, yes, they admit that they have this division, but they don't talk about it.
Yes.
Like, we don't know how many cases they have going on. Maybe one will leak out into the media or something, but they don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see it on YouTube.
No.
Like, you don't see it on the Catholic channel YouTube. Like, here's exorcism number two for the day. And
yeah.
It's just not what they do.
Right? There's some, like, The Exorcist was, I believe, based off of some
actual account.
It
was a boy, though.
Boy in Indiana, I believe it was.
So was The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose. And from what I understand, the Catholic Church is also able to easily distinguish. This kind of part of their whole vetting process of it is that they can tell if somebody is epileptic and multiple personality disorder and... it's a physiological problem, not a spiritual problem, before they actually go in and do what they do. Mm-hmm. So in 100 years, they may have only had two cases where they actually did go in and do something, but because of Hollywood, it makes it seem like it happens every other day.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the issues, you know, we've kind of talked about this before, is a lot of mental health.
Yes.
You know, and there's a lot of other factors contributing to it that make people appear or act as they could be demonic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really it's just mental health or...
Drugs,
but, you know, I mean, that kind of also boils down to the root cause, which is mental health. You know, why are you trying to ease your pain?
Yeah.
You know, and
I'm sure, sure Nikki has quite a few interesting stories involving drugs.
Yeah. Friday night crystal meth, there's exorcisms everywhere.
Yes.
You hear about the bath salts, too, where people eat other people's faces off.
There's worse ones out now than bath salts.
Yeah, I've heard. It's crazy.
It is crazy, you know, and it, all it is a substance, really, that makes them act like a demon.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and if you'd even deal with, you know, just past cases that we've dealt with, you know, where, you know, abuse has happened or things like that, you know, it really screws the brain up.
Now, if you wanted a real giggle, there's... I think it's the Nigerian Times or something. It's some African country that is very backwards and very superstitious. Mm-hmm. And they report in their daily newspaper stuff that would put the World Weekly News to shame, mm-hmm. of you know, like, we know this woman's a witch because we saw a cat walk into a bush and then a woman walked out of the bush afterwards.
Yeah, and then you open up that entire other avenue of, you know, witchcraft and Wiccan and you know, those other beliefs, you know, and you know, and then you get into, well, I mean, witches are another entire other topic for another day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to delve down that rabbit hole of, you know, those beliefs.
Well, it seems to all come down to religion and people's own beliefs, right?
Yeah, your personal and beliefs. Religion, beliefs, and your mental stability, I would say.
Well, I think we had a good talk today about spirits and demons. Make sure to head over to facebook.com/captureparanormal to vote for our next Paranerd Talk topics. Also head over to patreon.com/captureparanormal. You can send us a few bucks if you'd like, and we'll get you some exclusive content, extra video content and pictures and things like that. You'll also get exclusive early access to videos and podcasts from Capture Paranormal. Other than that, make sure you check out our next episode upcoming. We're going to be talking about paranormal TV shows and movies. So that should be quite an interesting topic. Again, thanks to everybody for voting and participating in what we're doing. We hope you enjoy it, and we hope you'll head over to Patreon and help us out a bit with our website hosting fees and our podcast fees and everything else. As you know, we do paranormal investigations of homes and stuff. It's all free of charge, so anything you can help by throwing some cash to the team will be greatly appreciated. So yeah, head over to captureparanormal.com for all our information and where we're going to be upcoming. Come check us out, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. For more information on Capture Paranormal, visit captureparanormal.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the Capture Paranormal podcast.